Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
Yeah.
All right. I believe we are on and we are live. Welcome to the Kat and Dizzy Show. This is one of your hosts, Kat, and my co-host is here, I believe. Dizzy, are you there?
Yes, Kat, I'm here. How you doing?
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, we're having some, we want to apologize to our listeners as well. We're having some issues with Blog Talk Radio right now, and I guess this isn't a new issue. Our admin, Sunny Thomas, who has a Sunny Thomas show on Thursday night, was having some of the same issues. So we're hoping we can get those resolved before next week. But we apologize if it makes it inconvenient for our listeners. But anyway, welcome to the Kat and Dizzy Show. And how are you tonight, Dizzy?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm just awesome. Just awesome. Had a piece of chocolate
cake. Okay.
And yeah, a cup of coffee and it's all good, but yeah, yeah. So we're going to be covering a topic tonight that is a rather emotional one for some people, and that is we're going to be talking about vaccines and the truth about vaccines. So, yeah, so, yep, we are going right for the throat of the sacred cow for many people who just become, I don't know, what do I want to say? You mentioned vaccines, and they just become crazy. Well, you have to, you know. It's like a religion for them or something. You know, doctors especially. I mean, well-meaning, but they just, many who've been indoctrinated. So we're going to be talking about the truth of vaccines because it's a pretty hot topic. And we do have a guest coming on this evening. U.S. will be joining us to talk about that. He's done a lot of research on it as well. So anyway, but until we get there, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I was just thinking about the vaccines. I had a conversation over the weekend, last weekend. I had mentioned somebody had asked me if I was getting my flu shot this year, and I said I don't get flu shots. And she was, like, pretty adamant about how it's my fault. It'd be my fault if she gets the flu. So I'm like, oh, okay. Whatever, but I kind of wigged out a little bit because I was like, how does that make any sense? When some of the times that when they are giving flu shots out, in most cases they're for flus that don't even really exist now. They're either last year's virus going around.
They target the wrong ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about people getting them when they're older and getting the flu shot and the pneumonia. And I know several people who have gotten the flu and pneumonia shot and both ended up with the flu and then pneumonia.
My mother.
So your mother is a perfect example. Yes.
Yeah.
So the flu shot and pneumonia shot landed her ass in the hospital, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Made her very, very, very sick, though, when you nearly lost her. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
And then the vaccine that... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say that the vaccines that they are now, all the vaccines that they are now pushing on the children, you know, they're making it harder and harder for parents to opt out of it. And secondly, there's been some arrests made on parents that are not vaccinating their kids. And the amount, it's not necessarily the fact that I don't necessarily believe in vaccinations and how they work. It's not really that as much as it is the quantity and the mass amounts of vaccines that they're pushing on all these small kids.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to talk about all that, the aluminum that they put, the things that are so toxic that they're putting in it that are causing autism, that are causing ADD developmental delays, the damage that it does to the neurological system, to the bones, because of what they put in the polio vaccine, the SV40 simian, it's actually monkey tissue they used, it was kidney tissue, how there are cancers that are directly linked to that, and how if you, not only you, but your mother even was injected into her body, it is transferred, believe it or not, to the children as well. And a lot of the cancers that we're seeing, they're finding that very same SV40. It's almost like it genetically passes on at that point. They're finding the that in people, and it's in the cancer tumors. There's been research done, as it's just, it is the travesty on the thimerosal, the amount of mercury, what they're doing to our children, what they're doing to us, and then mandating it is just, it's criminal. And the fact
right.
that parents, like you said, choices, they're not allowed choices, and you know, doctors are punished if they stand against it, if they don't follow the CDC, their schedules for vaccinating, even if they don't, just, you know, a parent says, I really want to take my time, you know, or whatever, then all of a sudden they find that they're getting ostracized, blackballed, they're, you know, not able to get Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance payments because the insurance companies won't pay out if you don't follow the schedule. I mean, it's just, it's, the whole thing is just kind of scary, actually. I mean, but not scarier than the damage that it does.
Right.
Because some of us have witnessed that firsthand. But yeah. Go ahead.
Right. And of course, the vaccine companies and the pharmaceutical companies, it's really all about profit. It's not about making us, you know, making our lives more important, you know, I'm trying to say.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, public health. It's not about protecting. Oh, no, not at all. It's just criminal. I'm going to recommend to our listeners, you get a chance to go on YouTube, look for the title of tonight's show, The Truth About Vaccines, is taken from a six-episode series that is very well done. There are many doctors and researchers who are interviewed and who are weighing in on this, and I think it's important that people, of course, do their homework, but take the time to listen and question. You know, listen. I mean, don't be afraid to listen. The fear is what they play off of, you know, fear. Somebody gets sick or something happens, they say they have the cure and everybody has to have it. I mean, the whole lie that it's built upon, when it's the total opposite,
mm-hmm.
You know, people are afraid to question it. I mean, they're really afraid to question it. And it's not about pro-vax or anti-vax. It's about intelligent scientific questions and researching and then being able to make an informed choice, just like anything else, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, right. So I would really encourage our listeners tonight, get a chance to watch those. Well worth the watch, well worth the time. You know, I plugged in my headphones on my way up from Iowa to Wisconsin when I was traveling this morning and listened
uh-huh.
to the video. And, wow, very concise, not a lot of wasted dialogue on this whatsoever. The arguments, I mean, it's just to me, it's so obvious. Polio, the truth about polio, the truth about what was polio and what wasn't, what was being caused. Because of DDT and how it correlated directly with the Salk polio vaccine. You saw supposedly that going down, but it was actually that it was misdiagnosed. They didn't do the blood tests and things. It looked the same. They were spraying swimming pools. I mean, there's so much. They were spraying public swimming pools and schools to get rid of mosquitoes with DDT, and they didn't think there was anything wrong with it. But the exposure to DDT causes the same symptoms and effects that you would see with poliomyelitis. It's exactly the same. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, I feel like
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm jumping right into the middle of it. In 2000, they stopped giving the oral polio. You remember how they used to, you know, your kids, they'd give
yes.
a little oral polio form. They
mm-hmm.
stopped giving it to them because they realized since 1960, every case of polio was caused by that live vaccine. They gave it to them. Every case in the United States was caused by that vaccine. So they started giving this dead injection instead. They made it part of another vaccination when they gave it. But in 2010, Bill Gates went over to, according to the Huffington Post, he went over to India, to this community over there. And
mm-hmm.
You may remember the big thing, yeah. And they were going to wipe out wild polio is what they called it, you know, that was causing paralysis. And so they went over there. There were like 5 cases of polio. And again, over in India, they don't have proper hygiene, proper, you know, their sewage. And I mean, they don't deal with any of that
right.
very well where they were. And so they ended up 5 cases of polio. It goes over there. They vaccinate everybody, and over 40,000 people got polio and ended up with paralysis, okay, because they gave it to them. And then they changed the name of what they got and called it something else. I mean, they got afterwards, you know, that they had some sort of paralysis. They wouldn't call it polio. They wouldn't admit that he went over there and gave polio to all these people. 2010, the very one that we said we weren't going to use anymore. Yeah, it just goes on and on. But we do have, looks like our guest is here. And U.S., is that you?
That's me.
Well, welcome to Cat and Dizzy Tim. Yeah, we are glad you're here today. We were just talking about polio.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that much about the vaccines. I mean, I've been watching a lot about it just so I can get the basics. But the polio was the first vaccine that really opened my eyes, because I heard a lot of this stuff and I thought, well, they probably got a lot to this. So I looked at the other side and see what they were saying. And you can just Google it on Wikipedia or whatever, and it'll tell you polio is contracted through human feces or saliva. And I was like,
right.
What? Human feces? That's a hygiene thing. And I was like, well, of course we don't have it anymore because people are clean now. We wash our hands. We have, you know, toilets that flush.
Right, and polio was pretty much, they try to take credit for wiping out polio with the vaccine, but the truth of the matter is that once we started getting modern-day plumbing, polio almost dropped off the map. That's
mm-hmm.
what fixed that. It had nothing to do with the vaccine.
Just like
it had everything to do with sewage.
Just like typhoid, diphtheria, cholera, typhoid. All of that, when you had modern sewage, it disappeared. And in the 40s, what they were calling, and we were just talking about that, it was a misdiagnosis. It wasn't polio. It was DDT that they were spraying in the public pools and at the schools and things. The effects of DDT exposure, poisoning, and arsenic will do the same thing, has the same symptoms and effects as polio mellitus. And so many, they weren't doing blood tests to see if it was polio. They were calling it polio. And then after the Salk virus or the Salk vaccine came out, they changed the definition of what polio was and everything. When they redefined what it was, then of course the numbers went down because they weren't putting everything in the same category. And so they just manipulated the numbers and said, yeah, look, we cured it. You know, but
they do the same with other diseases too. Like they'll put up flyers in the NICU units or they'll have information for the people that are working there, and they'll say, okay, if someone comes in with a kid presenting these symptoms, if they're not vaccinated, then it's what did they say? Either chicken pox or measles, I forget which. But if they are vaccinated, then it's Rosalia. Because it can't be what they were vaccinated for.
To try to make it appear that the vaccine is effective. And this is interesting. Yeah, effective. And what do they consider it to be effective? If it prompts a immune system or response in the body. But that doesn't mean it's protection from the disease. It means that they prompted an immune response. Because an immune response and protection from a disease are two different things. And you can have an immune response and still get the disease. You can.
Yeah.
And because
they do a lot of,
Go ahead.
Because they'll say, well, there's antibodies for the proteins that we put in there. Like, yeah, there are antibodies, and yeah, they are for those proteins that you put in there. But those proteins being there have also caused a major problem to the body because they went, they entered the body in an unnatural manner, and they went past the first line of defense. Because the body, if it's a disease that goes through the first line of defense and then the second line of defense is fighting it, the body's saying, okay, well, I know what this is from when it entered the first line of defense, which is through the lungs. So the next time this comes in the lungs, I know exactly what I'm going to be fighting against. But when it goes into the bloodstream, that first line of defense was completely bypassed, so the body is freaking out, and it's never going to let down its defenses again. That's why it has autoimmune disorders, because it starts attacking everything.
And it's exactly correct.
Trying to,
So the diseases that you would get normally, like you would breathe in, you would have exposure through that. It's not directly injected into the bloodstream. And it certainly isn't with toxins that are included in those vaccines, like aluminum. And the amount of aluminum that they put in, it's accumulative over the course of all the vaccines that they give, and it doesn't go away. I mean, it's not even the same metal, and it's not even like environmentally we're exposed to aluminum, and they'll say, well, this is the CDC has decided what's safe and what isn't the amount of aluminum that you can be exposed to. This is being directly injected. I mean, even if you ingest aluminum, there's an exit where, I mean, it's not good that you do that, and some of it's absorbed, but it can go out, you know, out the draught, so to speak. But when you inject it directly in, it goes to the brain and it doesn't go away. You know, the same thing with mercury and the ethyl, okay, help me out here, U.S. It, there's methylmercury and ethylmercury. And the ethylmercury is what they put in the vaccine, and it's actually more toxic. And when you inject that in, it goes into the brain. It's the second most toxic thing known to man.
Yeah,
you know,
what they
chemical
put
or
in the vaccine, ethylmercury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the methylmercury is what you find in this.
Right. Mm. So they're putting that in the vaccines, and they're saying, well, trace amounts won't hurt you, but when you take what a trace amount is and you multiply that, you know, they're putting 3 to 5 times more into the human body than is, you know, in an unnatural way, that it's going to go right through the brain barrier and accumulate in the brain and do not only neurological damage, but damage to bones and tissue and major organs. And then when you include, and this was interesting, huh?
Especially in the kidneys. A lot of these ingredients are messing up the kidneys.
Yes. And we're seeing, and it is directly in correlation with the increase since 1990 in the amount of vaccines that they're giving. And we're seeing increases in, you know, ADD, ADHD, autism, developmental delays, children who are normally developing and all of a sudden they regress, and they're trying to, you know, there are different kinds of autism. They've classified it differently, okay? And there are some who would say, well, that is why we see the increase, because now it used to be all or nothing. But Fragile X syndrome, you can see genetically if it's Fragile X syndrome, but the genetics are also affected of those who are being immunized or vaccinated. I should say vaccinated. You know, it changes DNA. It changes the way things look. It changes the brain. It changes everything. And
well, yeah, and the whole argument about autism where they say, well, we just have gotten better at diagnosing autism because it's a spectrum disorder. So that's why we see so many more autistic kids now, just because more of them are diagnosed. All right, diagnose the 60-year-olds. They got vaccinated, but they aren't getting near the level of vaccine that the kids are getting now. I mean, they got, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 shots? Now they're going up to, like, 64 doses that are put into, like, I think 10 to 12 shots per kid. You won't see the level of autism in the 60-year-olds as you see in the kids now, and it's going to get worse.
Mike Adams, he's a health ranger. Some of us have been, you know, like listening to him for years on talking about your body zone, and he's a scientist and researcher as well, but he talks about your body zone immune system and how if you strengthen the immune system, then when you have all these different strains of superbugs and different things that come along, your immune system actually can adapt and fight it off. And in our country, it's hard for people to understand, especially parents, if a child gets a disease, an infectious disease, that isn't the end of the world if they have that, because they can build up antibodies to it, which actually helps them. It makes them stronger and helps them to be able to fight it off, and they build up a real immunity to it. Artificial vaccination not only introduces toxins that will destroy them, but it doesn't create a real immune response, because it's evident when you're revaccinating over and over again for the same thing that you've been vaccinated for that it's not working, you know, why would you have to do it again? Because your body couldn't build up a sufficient... Because
there's several arguments that they come up because they say, you know, for the greater good, we should gain herd immunity. We need to have everybody vaccinated against this so that nobody will get sick from it. But what they're actually arguing for is herd weakness, because these vaccinations don't actually protect the people from these diseases. They weaken their immune systems, making them more susceptible to the diseases, because a lot of these people wind up with those diseases anyway. They get them anyway, because either from the vaccine or from being weakened by it. And so what they're actually doing is, because what they argue is, say, you know, you parents that aren't vaccinating your kids, you're endangering our children. The truth is quite the opposite. They're endangering our children by giving them all those toxins and poisons and viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So when they say we shouldn't have our children around yours, I'd have to say I agree. Your children are dangerous.
Right.
I give this a lot of thought.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you guys something personal. There's a significant person in my life, and we've talked about this for the last few years, because I'm not that smart. I just study this as much as I can so I can get the basics of it. And the more I, you know, because I try to study, well, long story short, I know that I am 100% convinced that these vaccines are totally unsafe. None of them are any good for you, and it's best just to stay away from all of them. I talked to this person who's in the medical field, and because they were indoctrinated in their early years of schooling that this is the way to go, because we're going to show you the 1% of 1% of kids who get these diseases and actually do die from them or suffer from them, and we're going to tell you that this is what will happen to all the kids that get this, you know, all the scare tactics and everything, and it's ingrained in them. Well, I talked to this person, you know, the last few years, and finally I got to the point where I said, you know what, we're not having kids together. And they were like, what? And I said, we're not going to have kids together. Why? I said, because you want them to get stuck with all those needles and have that poison put inside them. I've studied this stuff. You haven't. You know, because they would say, well, I've been in the medical industry. And I said, you don't know what's inside any of those. And I started telling them all the ingredients, what they're used for. You know, some of them are similar. Actually, they have the same exact active ingredient you'd find in antifreeze, which will kill you. And all this stuff.
Right.
And long story short, I just said, we're not having kids together. And we went on and on about that for a few months. And then just yesterday, we talked about it some more. And I explained to him why. I've already had my kids, you know, and I've seen what's happened to the first one. The second one wasn't so bad, but he does get sick pretty often. He has diarrhea, a lot of stuff. And I said, I can't do that to you. I can't do that to another child. You know, I can't. Well, you're not going to vaccinate. I said, yeah, but you are. So that's not going to happen. And then we talked about it, and they said, okay, you know what? If you don't want to vaccinate them, we won't. But if they get sick from one of these, it's all on you. That's fine.
Right. Well, where I'm at right now, where I'm physically sitting, I'm up at my boyfriend's house, and he is a little bit older than I am, not much, and he had the smallpox vaccination, but no other vaccination, and he had the childhood diseases and survived them and has a very strong immune system. Yeah. Okay, he didn't die from mumps, he didn't die from measles, he didn't die from chickenpox. He's extremely healthy and strong, and he wasn't vaccinated for any of that. Your body's immune system is designed to take care of all of this. When you have a child, their argument is, well, what if your child has, I love this one, what if they have a compromised immune system? You know, okay, so you're going to inject poison in them? Think about it. You're not going to evoke enough of an immune response from them with an immunization or a vaccination anyway. Their body can't
right.
do it. All you're doing is putting in something that is going to damage them further that they cannot deal with. So, and you're going to take a perfectly healthy child and do that? Well, why would you do that? Their own immune system can handle it. So, I mean, either argument doesn't work. The vaccines don't work. They know this. There is the I'm trying to think of now the letters. See, I should have taken notes. For the, it's a court that was specifically set up because the Supreme Court and Congress have decided, help me out with the term here, that vaccine
education and reporting system, VAERS.
Right. That's, doctors, VAERS, yes. The doctors are supposed to, health professionals are supposed to, they're supposed to report the, you know, those who are impacted by vaccines, but doctors don't because they don't recognize it. And even when they see it in front of them, they call it something different. They're not trained to even recognize that this was caused, and they deny that it was caused by a vaccine. But when a parent pushes it and gets involved, you know, they'll end up in this court that was specifically designed to hear cases on death and disability caused by or damage caused by injury by vaccines. And there's money awarded. The money's put aside. Okay, this is great. Every 75 cents for every vaccine that's given, 75 cents of that, because they, you know, they you pay for that. Insurance companies pay for it and everything, goes to this court, to a fund in case there's litigation. But the pharmaceutical companies don't pay for that, and the pharmaceutical companies themselves have immunity. They cannot be sued. That was decided because they told Congress, look, you know, we're going to close down all of our facilities where we produce these vaccines, and then you won't have any, and there's going to be a big breakout, and everybody's going to die from all these diseases, you know, and everything.
The big thing they said was war. It was a wartime scare because they said if a country comes in with a biological attack, we won't have the means to defend ourselves. That was how they got them.
Yeah. And so they decided right then and there that the pharmaceutical companies could not be held responsible. And there's a term that they use because they know that vaccines, I'm trying to think of what it is, but they've admitted. Yeah, but through that, you see, this is me tonight. I was like,
Supreme
I can't do anything.
The Supreme Court said it in the rule.
Yeah, that the injury
them,
will
they
happen.
Call them, no, they call them unavoidably unsafe.
Unavoidably unsafe.
So, if you're ever in court and you have to deal with the judge, you say this is what the Supreme Court has said in their ruling, that these vaccines, all vaccines, are unavoidably unsafe.
Okay.
Yeah, what's that saying? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, I've been listening to today's... Go ahead.
You know the word vaccine comes from, you know, vaca, which means...
Yeah, from the cow because of the smoke. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, when I learned about that polio and how it's an easily preventable disease because of sanitation, like most all of these diseases, even like the hepatitis ones, if you're not sleeping around a lot and you're careful, you're not going to get this and pass it on, right? I mean, some of this is just, I don't want to say common sense, but it's like people living in a society who understand right from wrong and morality and all these things, they're going to take care of themselves. They're going to take care of their kids. They're going to keep things clean, right?
Right.
Now, what I'm thinking is it's almost like a joke because vaca means cow, and the people who run this stuff, you know, the real evil ones, look at us as cattle. I think that's part of their joke. Vaca. Let me give this to you because you guys aren't even – we are insulting you so much. We think you're so dumb that you can't keep from eating your own feces or flushing toilets and all this stuff.
That's an interesting, observation, and I do believe that they look at us that way.
When I talk to the health professionals, that's the impression I get from health professionals is, oh, people are so stupid. They can't keep from eating their own feces, so we're going to give them these shots just so they don't get sick, like some kind of animal.
Right. Right, yeah. And actually, you can't take care of yourselves. Your children will do this for you. And in reality, what they're putting in it will kill us. The response, because of the toxins, your body's response is so unnatural. And then you put that in the most vulnerable a newborn child, and I was thinking about it today. I was listening. They were talking about when you consent as a parent, you go to the hospital, you go to have a baby, and you're in the hospital and you're giving birth, and you get some skin time with your baby, and then they take the baby away, and they stick stuff in it. They stick hepatitis B in it with all of the aluminum and all of the crap. And I mean the crap. You look at what's in this stuff. I'm not kidding. You know, and they put that in that brand new baby who does not, I mean, their brain isn't developed yet. They are the most vulnerable among us. You know, when you, as a parent, you have to be careful. I happened to be with my daughter when she gave birth to their first child. She and her husband in the room, I'm in there with them. And, I shouldn't say happened to be. She asked me to be there, and I was there with her. And I was so glad because the nurse said right away, you know, we're going to give him the vitamin B shot, or not vitamin B, the hepatitis B shot. And she and I both at the same time, no, you're not. If that nurse had not blurted it out, if they'd have just taken that baby away and done it, oh my gosh. You know, this
right.
Is a child who's never, yeah, he's never had a vaccine, and he doesn't get sick, and he's extremely intelligent. He is the smartest and the youngest in his class. And I'm not saying that as a, you know, I am his Meemaw, and I do brag on him, but I'm just saying, I see that there was an advantage to not having that done, you know, and they
right,
won't do it
right.
The next one. Yeah, and it's like, good, you know, this is a good thing. But I was thinking about it today, how many parents have no idea. They don't even know. You know, I have a cousin who, when her youngest daughter was born, and she and I talked about it several years ago, she said, you know, when she was born there at the hospital, and it was in St. Louis, she said, I had her, she's like 20 years old now, okay, but she said, when I had her, they wanted to give her, it was one of them, and she said, no, I don't want her to have it, and they actually said, you cannot take this baby home until you have her immunized, until we give her this shot. We will not let you take her home. We will call social services. They were going to take her baby from her. I want you to think about this. The baby was born with a low Apgar score, and they insisted on giving her this. And she said, you know, as a parent, I was afraid, and I was blown, you know, kind of bowled over, and they gave her that shot. And because of that shot, she's autistic. Not kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's
just
a really good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. I would definitely advise young parents to find out what the hospital's policies are if they want to have a birth in the hospital.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Right, because
yeah.
A lot of times they, yeah. I mean, in most cases they don't ask you. It's just something that they do routinely. And you're right, you know, you get this new little baby and they're putting poisons in it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it is ridiculous. It's horrible. It's shameful. You know, Western medicine is supposed to be good, and I'm sure it has its place for some things, you know, I guess. But, I mean, it's to the point now that they're saying we've run the life of our antibiotics because of all these superbugs and because of all the things we put in our bodies that aren't they're unnatural, and we don't rely upon our own immune system, and we damage our bodies so much through that now we've got things that we can't fight off, or is a society or whatever. And when you really truly need an antibiotic, it's not going to work. You know, I mean, and there are natural things, or oregano oil works well with frankincense oil, essential oils. You can use some things alternatively that work more effectively with a body that is healthy, you know, and that's, we get back to that whole thing, staying away from certain things. But it's just crazy. I mean, just to know why they're doing this and to see it up close and personal makes it, why would you have a talk radio show? Why would you talk to people about these sort of things? Why do you want to get the word out? Because you don't want someone else to go through that. You don't, you know, you want them to know. You want people to make informed choices. You want to wake them up. You want them to get information. You want them to have a chance. And that's why. And some people, this is the sacred cow of many people. I mean, seriously, there are many who don't understand, who have been lied to, and they believe that that flu shot is going to protect them. They believe that people who, I mean, they've bought into the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. And you just want to wake them up because they don't even realize that the choices that they're making out of this fear and out of trusting blindly doctors, trusting blindly, and I'm not saying doctors don't have any good intentions. They themselves have been fooled or whatever, but we're responsible. At the end of the day, the one person who's responsible is going to be you as a parent or as your own, for your own health. You're the only one who can change it. You're the one who's responsible. So let me tell you what, something happens. If, you know, you get vaccinated or you have your child vaccinated, something happens. Yeah, there is a court that handles it. If you can win in court, the time and the money it would take to do that, you know, but that's never going to make up for the damage that's done. You know, I question, one of my sons is autistic. He is. He has spina bifida and he's autistic. And there are some tendencies on his dad's side. There was some autistic tendencies in that family. So I don't know if it was a genetic thing or he was immunized. You know, I question as a parent, did I do this to my child? And I don't get hung up in the guilt of it, but you start to wonder, you know, was this an effect from that? Well, for future generations, you want people to wake up. I had someone who, you know, can you make a difference? Can this make a difference? Well, when the Revolutionary War started, it was 3%. 3% who said, we're done. We've had enough. Started with 3%. So when
right.
people wake up, we can make a difference. And I guess that's what I'm saying. We can make a difference. We can get the word out. We can educate others. And we can make it stop. And how do we make it stop? Is it by holding the pharmaceutical companies liable, or is it by changing legislation? No, I don't think that's where the answers are. The answer's closer to home. You know, you just say no, and you don't do it. You don't allow it. You know, you say, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to allow that. It's not going to happen. And that's where you make a difference. You just decide, no, I'm going to do differently here. You know, legislation probably isn't going to change because of the influence in Washington of Big Pharma. You know, it's all about the money. But I really want to encourage you guys to get a chance to watch those videos. Seriously worth the time to listen and to glean that information. I was blown away. Some things I knew, some I sure didn't. Baca,
right
now.
Speaking of information, there's a couple of
sure,
really
go
good
ahead.
Websites. One is vaxtruth.org, and the other one is vaclib.org, V-A-C-L-I-B. It stands for Vaccine Liberation. That one's like just a ton of information. They've got good forms, things you can fill out, and then they've got the actual list of all the ingredients in the vaccines, because I went to the CDC website and try and find them, and they only list a few here and a few there, and they really try to avoid just giving you the actual facts.
Right. Well, this is interesting. The CDC, in their so-called studies of the safety of vaccinations and the safety of thimerosal, the safety of aluminum, they have three studies that they cite. It's still on their website, three studies. And those three studies, all three of them are invalid, inaccurate, outdated. One of them in particular, the guy who did the study for them, this is interesting. I think he was Swedish, he's from Sweden or something, and he's wanted by the FBI because he took the $1 billion that they gave him to do the research for this study, and he absconded with the funds. He's got 22 charges against him right now. Seriously. He's on the run. That's a real good guy. You know, they still got his stuff up there, even though the guy was a con man. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on and on, you know, but they'll never admit the truth because this scam, they have to keep it going. There's a lot of money invested. Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff in their studies. In their studies, they do a lot of things to try and say, yeah, you know, we tested this against placebo and we found no difference between our vaccine and a placebo. And then they won't tell you that, well, some of them won't even tell you what's in the placebo. And then others, if you dig, you finally get the truth from that the placebo has all the same ingredients as a vaccine except for the attenuated virus. And so, well, okay, so you're injecting all these chemicals in two sets of kids and there's no difference in the number of deaths and disabilities. Maybe you should have a control group.
non-vaccinated children. You're absolutely right. Yeah. That was interesting. They made that point, too, about the placebos, how they're basically the same thing, that they have the same ingredients. That would be like having a placebo for diabetes, saying, you know, we want to see how they do with this, but, you know, we're going to put, like, sugar. We're gonna try sugar on diabetic, and then we're going to give them a placebo that has sugar in it, too. Well, you're not getting an accurate, statistically, that's not a way to research it because it's not a true placebo. It's not a placebo. A placebo is saline. You know, there's nothing else in
it. If you had diabetics and you gave one group Snickers bars and the other groups the sugar equivalent and they're diabetics and, you know, 50% of them die in both groups, well, we know that Snickers bars aren't any more dangerous than sugar. Well, you know, it's all sugar that they're getting. And they call it a live placebo. If they say it's a live placebo, it means that their control group is not a true control group because a control group would have a dead placebo, which is saltwater pills or something completely innocuous that goes into the bloodstream and instantly becomes part of the body and has no effect on it.
Right, which they won't do because of the numbers. They're not going to do that because they know that what it's going to do. It's interesting. It reminds me of a joke years ago. Here we go. I'm a really corny joke. You guys got time for a joke here? Really bad.
Uh-huh.
So this scientist is saying, this researcher, you probably heard it. He's like, you know, he wants to test to see this frog, what it does. You know, he's like, I want to see what the frog does when I cut off his leg or whatever. So he's like, he takes the frog and he kind of pokes it, and the frog has four legs, and he jumps, and he writes down, you know, frog with four legs jumps, and then he cuts off a leg, and he pokes it, and the frog jumps, and he writes frog with three legs jumps, and then he cuts off, and he goes on until the frog doesn't have any legs, and then he pokes the frog, and he says, jump, frog, jump, and it won't. Oh, you know what, I said it wrong. He would tell it to jump, and it would jump. Anyway, he cuts off all the legs, he gets to the end, and his conclusion when he cuts off all the legs and the frog doesn't jump when
frog
he tells it to is frog, the legs are deaf. Yeah, boy, I screwed that up. But you kind of get the gist of where it was going, you know, and that's kind of how they're doing their research because they're coming to conclusions that have nothing to do with the facts that they had a control group that was unvaccinated.
You know, another good point is I was just thinking about that movie that came out a few years back. The real big one with they eventually had to catch that monkey at the end to get the virus out of it so they could cure the town that was going to be firebombed, whatever the name of that movie was. Outbreak.
Oh.
That was the name of the movie.
Oh.
It was called Outbreak.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was like real big propaganda for the vaccine industry. Yeah, we got to have these, you know, because that poor town, all those people got this rare disease from this one monkey that spit at this one guy. And like, oh, come on. Now I'm like, what a fairy tale. This is all such BS, the whole thing. I get mad thinking about it.
Well, yeah, you know, they stuck in the polio vaccine. They stuck in tissue from a monkey. It's SV40 simian tissue from their kidney, okay? And this is directly linked to cancers that were caused by the polio vaccine that they actually took out of the tumors. They found the SV40 in the tumors of these people that had cancer, and they had all, you know, the ones that they were studying had the polio vaccine. They were putting it in the polio vaccine. and
yeah,
they are finding that it passes.
Yep.
Go ahead.
There was actually one scientist who had the audacity to keep her integrity about it and ask the question, why are these people getting monkey viruses? Because she's the one took it all the way back to the vaccines, and they told her to be quiet about it. She said no. And they even put her in prison. And they said to her, you know, if you just renounce your work, like some heretic that's going to be burned at the stake, then we'll let you out. And she said, no, I stand by my work. I stand by the science. Like, because you guys don't have a leg to stand on. Eventually, they had to let her go. They took everything, though. They took her house, took all her money, took everything away from her. She said she doesn't care because she happened to be a Christian. So she said, you know, render unto Caesar what Caesar's and to God what God's. She's like, yeah, all the money and stuff belongs to Caesar, but my body belongs to me, and you guys can't do anything to it. And she's still giving talks and stuff. Really proud of her.
Yeah, that's a lot of integrity right there. Well, Salk, Jonas Salk, in 1971, he was still alive, and he actually took the stand to testify and to say that, that there was a chance of simian viruses occurring with the polio vaccination because of that being in there. He admitted and said, and cancers that would come from that. So it, I mean, they know that it causes this, you know, and it just, it blows my mind away. Every case of polio in the United States, 1960 on, has been caused by the oral polio vaccination that they were giving, you know, every one of them.
Wow.
That's why they quit in 2000 giving the oral, and because it was a live virus. They were giving people polio. Here, let me help you. No, thank you. The cure can kill you.
I think,
you know,
everybody's got their button, you know, what makes them stop and reconsider how they do things. The person I was talking about, I think maybe what had helped was I had just learned some information, some history. They're from a different country. Well, they're from the Philippines. And
is a nurse and she is from the Philippines. She is a nurse and she is from the Philippines.
Okay. Yeah, she's from the Philippines. Anyway, our military went over there and did forcible vaccinations. I think it was for measles to the tune of 2.5 million people. They didn't have a choice. Out of those 2.5 million people, I think 300,000 got sick. 40,000 died. They didn't have a problem with measles before that. A few years later, they came back. Our military did another forcible vaccination, this time 7.5 million people. I don't know how many got sick, but 60,000 died. And they stopped doing it after that because the Philippines kind of got tired of people getting killed for no reason. But, you know, I shared that information with them. I said, you know, that's a history. And, you know, she had even told me something that happened in the Philippines either last year or the year before, because she actually told me when it happened.
It was in 2016. I remember when the headlines. I remember it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
the kids. Cool.
And they're fortunate over there because their culture is a little different than ours. The people are closer together. They talk to each other more. And they're a little bit more close-knit. So when there's a problem, it tends to travel around the country pretty quick. And if there's other people involved with it, you know, they get up in arms and then their government has to respond. That's the one nice thing about Orientals and people in the Eastern culture is they get pretty fired up and their government gets afraid of that. So they respond a lot quicker. Ours, we are a little bit, our fuses are a little too long. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm just mad all the time now when it comes to this subject. But in general, Westerns, we have too long of a fuse. Our governments get away with a lot more.
Yeah. Well, I think about in China, was it the guy that was responsible for the BPA, the plastic? No, it was baby formula. Remember the baby formula incident in China like a year ago, 2 years ago? Yeah.
No, it was.
And
yeah, what happened was he was taking kickbacks from the dairy industry because over there to have their milk sell for a higher price, it has to have a higher protein content. And they discovered that if they put a certain chemical in, it could trick the sensors into thinking that it had a high protein content and they could sell it for a higher price, premium quality milk. Well, that premium milk was what was used in the stuff that they would give to babies and, you know, for candies and stuff like that for kids, because they're like, well, we want the kids to have the best milk, not that low quality stuff. And a bunch of babies were dying, you know, all over China. They're having a problem with it. And the parents, because they're all online, all talking to each other, like, there's something wrong. And they pieced it together pretty quickly that it was a baby formula, because the ones that were breastfeeding didn't have this issue. And there were some kids in the stuff also getting kidney problems and stuff because of the candies they're eating. There's a certain brand that's called Bunny Rabbit. It's like our version, like it's a Tootsie Roll, except it's white. And I used to eat them when I was a kid, actually.
I was going to say they actually exported it here because you've had it before. I remember.
I used to eat
tons
of them.
They sold it at one of the, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they weren't like that back then. I don't know.
I think it was, probably before that, but yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, all those kids are dying and stuff. And so the people, unlike us, they actually, they get mad. And they went to their local rulers, I forget what they call them, governors or whatever. And they said, you're going to fix this right now, or we're going to burn your house down around you, you and your family. And these people were mad all over the country. So the governors, of course, they called a party and say, hey, you got to do something or we're toast. And the party's like getting all these calls from all these governors all at the same time. So they said, don't worry, we're going to take care of it. And then, you know, they went. And because they don't have the same restrictions we do to getting information and arresting people, they went through all of the individuals involved real quick to find out how high up it went. Got to the guy at the top and said, you're going to prison. And once they got him in prison, they went through their process, and within a week, he was executed. It was announced on British broadcasting station.
Yeah.
They executed themselves. They said, whatever his name is, was executed. That's right, executed.
You know what? In this country, if we did that with Monsanto, if we did that with those who are responsible at the top of the pharmaceutical companies, at the CDC, who are bearing information. See, the problem is the powers that be at the top. We talk about we're a free country, we're this, we're that, and they're a communist country. Let me tell you, because of the lack of, and you said it, restrictions. Our government has more restrictions on us as people than what we realize when they bury the truth. And it's if they not only bury it, but sell the, you know, what they are for our kids with the problems that are happening and mandating that they have to be vaccinated so that their pockets are padded and the pharmaceutical companies are protected and their pockets are padded. You think about it. What are we afraid of? If we rose up in this country and did that, what would happen? Well, martial law. What would happen? They'd arrest you, me, because they're protected by the laws that are supposed to protect us. This is why I say we need to wake up in this country.
If you're a Christian, though, I mean, there's some stuff in the Bible about that, talking about, you know, the virtues of charity and you know, temperance, long-suffering, all these things. Against such, there is no law. You know, if there's some law that's designed to hurt people, it's not a law. I mean, I don't care if they write it in stone. You don't have to listen to it.
It's not a just law.
Yeah.
So you do what's right according to your conscience and what you know is right. But I guess what I'm saying is, as a society, do we have the liberty to rise up and say, you know what, he did this, he's gone. You know, you're doing this and it's harming our children. We're done with you. And there will be a high price for it. I mean, the evil people that are suppressing the truth for the sake of protecting their lavish lifestyle and the money they're making, who are keeping these things going. I mean, really, at the cost of what? You know, our kids, the next generation, future generation, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there are those who would use one's Christianity against us the people who hide behind, you know, things like that, and they expect you to be the Christian and forgiving of them while they're doing unspeakable acts at the cost of your family. No. Folly in Israel because they wouldn't do anything.
You know, I think of these people, like you're talking about, the ones at the top who are only interested in keeping the status quo because it keeps them rich, and they don't want to look at the facts or examine the case studies or talk to the parents because, you know, heaven forbid, they might actually find the truth. I don't know. I was going to say something, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, well.
It's okay.
Welcome to the Cat and Dizzy Show. It seems to happen on here a lot. There was one person, I'm trying to think, and I've been sitting here struggling. He was like a bigwig either at the CDC or the with the medical something. But that day, he had a grandchild born that very day when they were interviewing him. And when he found out that, was it the aluminum content or whatever, the damage it would do, the studies had come out or whatever, they told him the truth, and he's like, you know what, that won't happen to my grandchild, but we're not going to tell the public about this. That's evil.
Yeah.
That's evil. Well, I'll protect my own, but, you know, when you're talking public safety and public health, that's just the total opposite. It's like, oh, my gosh. That's why I encourage everybody to watch this video, because I have a brain like a sieve tonight, and I should have taken notes, and I want to finish watching this, and I really would like to do a part two on this, Dizzy. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this topic is one. I worked in the public schools for many years, and I saw the kids being medicated for things that their vaccines probably caused. And other things. I mean, it was a downtown school. There were socioeconomic reasons why some of them were the way they were. You know, they weren't getting their needs met at home, things like that, kind of crazy lifestyles. But a lot of it, too, you saw kids coming in that you knew that they were impacted by something, and yet they were the same ones that, you know, were being sent to the nurse's office to get their meds every day. I mean, the line was unreal. And you just, like, shake your head and think there's something wrong here, very wrong here. When you put a child on Adderall, you're setting them up for a life of drug addiction. You're changing the way their brain is structured. You're changing the way their body can process things. I mean, you're changing them physiologically in every way, the way they think. Is this really
what it's true. I know. I knew two different guys that had taken the Adderall and what was the other one? I don't know. They'd been on several drugs. Yeah, Ritalin, that's it.
Yeah.
And one of them, he would get in trouble with the law every now and then. Nothing major. He just didn't like following the rules. And he would laugh when he told me, you know what? They can't give me polygraphs. Well, why is that? And he's like, because they don't work on me. And I'm like, why don't they work on you? He's like, well, I was on, I think he said Ritalin or Adderall, one of those. And because I was on it so long as a kid, none of my responses are ever going to be consistent because my something with the wiring in his brain, you know, is different. So, like, it was jumping around. He was kind of goofy to begin with. I was like, oh, okay. But there was another kid. I worked with him at the factory, well, the one I'm at now, actually. And he'd come in there really, he was actually a smart kid. I mean, I could tell when I talk to people, you know, what kind of level of intelligence they have. It's not like a big deal, but for certain jobs, you got to have some smarts. And they put him in a setup position, which is where you're putting tools in machines, pulling them out and getting everything just right. And they asked me to train him. So I said, okay, I'll train him. And after about the first week of working with him, I talked to my boss, and I said, you know, he's a really smart kid, and he's got a good attitude. I said, but he's a little goofy, and I'm kind of worried that he's not going to take the job seriously, and he might get hurt, you know, or he might break something. Well, just do the best you can, because they don't care. All right. So we're just working away, and he was a good worker. He worked really fast, as best he could. And he liked to make jokes with people and play jokes on him, all that stuff, because he was probably only like 20-something. But then one time we were working a job and put a tool in. I never told him anything. I just put that tool in and went to grab another tool. And he took it upon himself to try and help me, which was a huge mistake because he wasn't trained yet. And I told him, don't do anything unless you're told, you know, kind of thing. So he's like, well, I'm just going to close this machine for him. And yeah, by the time that machine stopped moving, that tool looked like a mushroom. It was just totally crushed. And he looked so shocked. He's like, oh, I mean, he had one hand on each side of his face and his mouth wide open, like, what did I just do? You know, and I said, well, I'm going to have to pull that out, trying to be, you know, as calm as possible because everybody else is freaking. And I said, don't worry, we'll take care of it later. Let's just keep moving. And they decided, in their great wisdom, to move him to a different department because they thought, well, maybe Mike speed is just a little too fast for him. We'll move him to a slower department because where I was at is it's quick, quick, quick. Everything's got to be done just right, really fast. I tried to slow it down for him, but there's only so slow you can go. And he moved to another department, broke some stuff, knocked some things over, dropped some things. Luckily, nobody got hurt. Eventually, they're like, yeah, we're just going to have to let you go. So he had to go to a different job. And I think it was for the best because, unfortunately, it's just not safe. Like, if people have that much of a difference in the way their brain chemistry works that they can't focus for a long period of time or take something very seriously, then they're going to need to stay away from the heavy equipment and the things that could kill themselves or other people.
Yeah, you think, wow. So here you've got someone who is a child, was medicated, you know, probably for behavior, which is their cure for, you know, whatever in the public school. They're using a classroom management tool.
It's just a drug-induced babysitter because they're like, we don't have enough teachers. Let's just give them all drugs.
Well,
I have no use.
Right.
I'd like to. And I can share an experience on that. The son who's autistic and has spina bifida when he was in the public school. And I was, a young parent who was, how do I want to say, intimidated. And, you know, I would go because he was having, he wasn't an ill-behaved child. That wasn't it at all. But he couldn't focus, and they didn't have the help at that time in the schools that they do now as far as extra help giving, you know, and so the teacher was frustrated because he would sit at his desk for 6 hours a day, basically. She didn't know how to help him. He had disabilities that hadn't been, quote-unquote, diagnosed yet, and so I went to a meeting with the teachers, and they told me that denying my son medication to help him focus was like telling a child who needed glasses to squint harder and that I was a bad parent. Seriously, this is what I was told. And, I mean, so he was already being seen at Iowa City hospitals and clinics or myelodysplasia clinics for the, it wasn't for the autism yet, it was for the spina bifida. He'd been diagnosed, finally. And because he had some problems where he was malformed inside. And so so when we went there, my doctor refused to prescribe any sort of stimulant medication, my local doctor, because he had a bit of a tic disorder. And by the way, tic disorders can be caused by vaccinations. Yes. So here, under pressure and duress from them, when I took him back to Iowa City the next time, I told them this is what the teachers have said, and they said, we'll try a Ritalin trial on him. They gave him it was brand-new release, long-term release Ritalin. He was on it 3 days, and I got a call from the school nurse, and she was frantic. And she said to me, you have to come right away and get him. He is ticking uncontrollably. He cannot sit in his seat. He can't stop. And so I stopped what I was doing and went there and got him. For 18 months, he had uncontrollable ticking and barking and bizarre behaviors from the Ritalin. We discontinued the Ritalin right away, but that's what it did. So Yeah. And it was because of a teacher who was from, how do I want to say, the right side of the tracks, you might say, who didn't want to do her job, didn't know what to do with him, didn't know how to help him. The following year, I homeschooled. I pulled him out, and I taught at home, which was one of the best things. If I could go back and do, I'd have taught them all at home. Seriously, if I could go back and redo, one of the best decisions that I made was to pull him out that year. I found out a lot of things. I ended up working in the public schools after that to try to help and be an advocate and would talk to parents and tell them my experiences, you know, when they'd be talking about, well, they want to put little Sadie on medication, and I'd say, please don't do it. You know, well, they're saying she won't attend. She's having a hard time. She's smart, but she just can't focus. So that's immaturity. So Mama did it anyway. A month later, she came back to me, and she said, I wish I'd never done it. She was like a zombie. I lost my Sadie. You know, I said, we'll take her off. Take her off now. You know?
Right.
But the teachers, they're so misguided, and they believe that this stuff is okay. You know, I would go to different big district training sessions. We had a guy in who was talking about, he had Tourette's. He was talking to all the educators about, you know, the kids and the studies on brains and how they're different, blah, 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 blah. And I talked to him afterwards, and I said, chicken or the egg? You put a child on medication, or you stick them in a home where they're not getting the right stimulation, the brain isn't going to develop right. So you take an x-ray of their brain later and you say, well, look, their brain's different. Well, of course it's different. You've just changed everything. You know, you can't sit there
right.
and say it was an effect. It was causative. The behaviors, the medications, there was rewiring and changing the brain. That's a direct effect of how they were raised or what you have done to them. They don't have a different, they weren't born with that. You can't say that unless you did an x-ray of their brain when they were born before anything was introduced. You can't. You know, that again, it's that placebo thing. You're back to you can't do a study on something if you don't have a control. And that would be your control. You know, this is before, this is after. So you can't sit there and say, well, see, his brain's different. He just was born with a different brain and has ADHD. Well, how was he raised? You know, was he sat in front of a video game? So anyway, the bottom line is, back to the vaccines and everything, when you introduce something artificial into the body, something that doesn't belong there, it's going to have problems. It's going to cause problems, and that's what they're doing. And no, it isn't justified because it doesn't even work.
And
go ahead.
The FDA regulates, you know, the drugs and all the stuff that comes through here. And originally the FDA was the Division of Chemistry because that's what they regulated with chemicals. And it was more just to make people feel good about what they were putting in their body. It wasn't really so much to help them. But the chemicals and stuff in the vaccines, the problem is what we've been educated is that vaccines are a biological product, which there in some of them there are biological agents from the bacteria or whatever. In others, it's just viruses and then chemicals. But either way, viruses or bacteria, everything else is chemicals. So what you're doing when you're injecting a baby is you're injecting chemicals into that baby. And this is a good way to try and explain it to people who are like, we should just listen to our doctor. And it's like, well, has your doctor told you that you're injecting chemicals into that baby? Well, yeah, and these are the chemicals. You know, this is what's found in antifreeze. This is what's found, you know, and just list them. And this is, you know, what they use to preserve.
Aluminum.
Yeah, preserve, you know, all that stuff. And mercury. Those are chemicals that should be regulated by the government, and they're allowing it to go through without any checks. They're not doing any studies. The studies that they did are complete garbage. And, you know, because somebody in a white lab coat told you it's okay, are you really going to say, you know, well, this is okay to give my baby because they said it's okay?
Right.
Yeah. It's just,
and
the
heavy metals that they put in it. In the vaccines are, you know, basically the same things that are causing Alzheimer's when you get older, It's the same with the, you know, aluminum pans that we cook with. You know, it's really important to probably start weeding those out as well, because all it's doing is clogging your brain with the heavy metals. So
right.
People need to really pay attention to the Teflon and all that stuff that they cook with. The Teflon,
yeah.
The aluminum, all of that stuff needs to be researched and you know, and looked into. And a lot of people just don't really take the time to do that. They figure if they're buying it on the store shelf, it's safe product. But the truth of the matter is aluminum is very, very dangerous to the brain.
Yes. So aluminum foil, aluminum, aluminum pans. I used to have one years ago when I found out about aluminum. I was like, nope, getting rid of this. And I got rid of it and replaced it with, you know, I've got the steel pans and everything. You know, here's one for you. Teflon. I used to have birds. They used to call me Bird Lady.
Right.
I had a lot
They're
of
very
birds
dangerous.
In my home. Yeah, and if you cook with Teflon or you have a Teflon covered like ironing board cover, which I did, you know, that's released with heat, it kills the birds. I mean, it's
right.
The old canary in the mine shaft
yeah.
thing. Well, if it's doing it to
exactly.
them, is it safe for us? So it's like, no, get rid of it. You shouldn't have it. You know, it's just really bad. Cast iron is good. Cast iron is very good. I have my stuff that I have right now is steel. Is it steel? Yeah, I think it is. But stainless steel.
I have steel.
Good to cook with. Yeah.
Yeah, I switched mine out to steel.
Yep, cast iron is excellent. Very, very good. The iron's good for you, too. So, and swear by the stuff. But, yeah, so, yep, you're absolutely right, Dizzy, looking at what we cook with, environmental factors. And that was something that was commented on by one of the people, one of the doctors in there. She said, you know, this is an accumulative effect. The kids are injected with this stuff from babyhood, and they're getting it over and over and over again injected into them. And then they're also getting, like, they put glyphosate, glycofil, they put it in the, not kidding, in the vaccination. It's been proven, and the FDA is regulated. They've decided, the World Health Council has said glyphosate is a known toxin. It's a carcinogen. And they're putting it in vaccinations now. And so they get it environmentally through their food. And also, yeah, they're injecting it in the kids. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, the
right.
list goes on. It's crazy. We're putting this in healthy children, and then they're not healthy anymore, and we don't know why. You know, and then they get environmentally, and yeah. And I think back and they say, well, you know, we're better off than our grandparents were or our great-grandparents were. Are we? Are we healthier? But then you think they used to, back in the 1930s, and I found this interesting, 30s and 40s, they would say DDT, you know, was a good thing. You know, I don't have any flies around me because my DDT, I had my daily dose DDT. They would advertise it just like they would cigarettes, have a cigarette a day, keep the doctor away. I mean, seriously.
Right.
But DDT was okay. They did.
Yep.
You know, and it's extremely dangerous. So chemicals, bad chemicals. Yeah.
Right, and they do put bad, numerous bad chemicals in vaccines. Just, they're just full of it. And, you know, even the stem cells that they use stem cells in some vaccines. They use dog kidney cells. Aborted fetus cells,
There's
you know, all that stuff in vaccines.
There's an interesting story behind that, because the aborted fetal cell lines that they use, there was some debate because the medical community said, well, we're not using it from any recently aborted fetuses. It's not like we're killing babies for this. We're using it from stem cell lines that we got like 50 years ago from one woman.
Right.
And the problem is, if they're actually telling the truth, which I doubt, but if they are telling the truth, then those stem cell lines that they're using are hundreds of times more dangerous than what you would get from an aborted fetus like this year. Because the longer those stem cell lines are in existence, they grow in petri dishes, they harvest them, the more prone they are to causing cancer. Because their genetic code breaks down over time as they continue to multiply and replicate. So they're way more toxic now than they were when they were first harvested.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's really creepy.
The whole thing
yeah.
is. Well, in the word pharma, pharmakei, what does it mean?
There we go. It's Greek for sorcery. It's Greek for sorcery.
Yeah, it is. It's seriously the word pharma.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, witchcraft, sorcery, and what they're doing to manipulate people and. How evil is that? Our children. How evil is that? Mm. So, yeah, that's why I like Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, because he talks about, you know, your body is made to, it's got an immune system. You strengthen the immune system, you can fight things off. And if you don't have a strong
right.
immune system, giving you chemicals and bad things isn't going to help. Hello.
When I was growing up, going to school, I had the understanding that, oh, we have an immune system, but if we get sick or we get weak, then our immune system doesn't work anymore, you know, things like that. I didn't realize that the body's immune system is actually, for most 99% of people, it's very strong and it's very aggressive. It'll go after any kind of foreign entity that gets in there, whether it's a foreign protein that comes in the viruses or whatever. That's why we have all those autoimmune disorders, because our body is programmed to defend itself.
Isn't that something? And so when you put artificial stuff in, it actually suppresses your own immune system. I mean, it has a response, but it damages the body's ability to fight things off. And then when you add the environmental factors and the bad diet, you know, you're setting someone up for.
Well, what it does
a lot,
is
it
confuses the immune system into thinking that parts of the body that are friends, it now thinks that they're enemies, because it had these strange proteins show up out of nowhere inside the walls of the city, because it's supposed to. You know, when the enemy attacks, they're supposed to come against the walls. You send your troops out. There's a big battle. You know, that's like the infection and all the stuff that normally happens when someone gets sick. But instead, they showed up inside the wall because we allowed it. And so the body doesn't trust anything. It just goes after indiscriminately, thinking, well, that must be an enemy and that must be an enemy. Kind of similar to the way our country is now with the state, war on terror.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm beginning to see some similarities here. You know how I'm a Christian. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. We know who is. With these immune confusion techniques that they use with the vaccine, it's the same with the country. We don't have foreign enemies. We have two oceans that keep them away from us. So the only enemies we can have are ones that are generated here at home. They have to make boogeymen.
Okay, go ahead on that note.
That was pretty much all I had. I just thought it was interesting that they were both so similar.
Well, there's a lot of, it seems like the same principles are played out in just, and I say this continually, different theaters, you know, that you see the same kind of things where they artificially, they create fear so that when they introduce, you know, something that they think they're going to tell you is the cure and they're going to have bad things in with it, you'll accept whatever they say blindly. And those who do, they'll defend it. Well, even, it's almost like the debate over vaccines or the talk about, it's almost like a religion for some people, the way they defend it, or you're not allowed to question it or whatever. I mean, they're religious about this. When it's just when you can't question something, you've got a problem. When you've been raised in a church or a religion that tells you you can't question anything and they don't have answers, they just don't want you to question anything, just accept what I say. I go back to, and here you go, I am a Christian. I go back to the Bible, and God said, to come now, let us reason together. He says, seek me. He says, question. He says, to search, to seek, to find. You know, he gave us a brain. He expects us to reason. He expects us to look into things. He doesn't expect us to blindly submit to anything, you know, that's man-made, that's man thoughts, that's man stuff. You know, he wants us. That's why we have curiosity. That's why we, you know, we need to look into things. And for those who would say, no, just blindly, no, man, that's a red flag. And no matter where it's at, whether it's in government, whether it's in a doctor's office, vaccines, whether it's in a church, no, you know, of all places. Yeah, you need
right.
to question. You need to search it out. Yeah, because at the end of the day, and this is something I said too, you know, in dealing with the issue of vaccines, so you can't go after the doctor. You can't go after the pharmaceutical companies. You can't go after the government, all the ones that are telling you have to do it. So who's the person who's left at the end of the day with the responsibility? The parent. The parent. Because the child can't speak for themselves. The parent. So if you're the person in the driver's seat and you're the parent, you better make good choices and you better not be listening to them because they don't have your child's best interest at heart. You do. They don't care. And they're not going to be the one to pay the price. That's, you know, I mean, and I'm speaking,
yep.
I've shared my story here, some of it, dealing with my son and how that impacted him. And I'm the parent, and I was bullied by, you know, somebody else and intimidated by someone else into, you know, allowing something that I should have never allowed. And did I have guilt over it? Oh, good Lord, you know, was I a sleeping giant after that that woke up and wanted to go take some heads off? You betcha. They didn't care. They'd go, you know, they wouldn't care. They're not going to say, hey, you know, we were wrong for this school nurse who at one point was like, yeah, you need to do this. You know, when she called me, that wasn't her attitude. It was, come get your son. He's got a problem. You're the parent. You need to deal
right.
with it. So you're the one who's going to be responsible. Then you need to be the one making a good decision and not just taking what they say blindly. Because that same doctor who sticks that and injects that into your child, when there's a reaction, a severe reaction, you know, right afterwards, and I think you can attest to this, U.S., when you've been watching some of the videos and things, parents who, you know, they go back to the doctor and say, hey, they just had a vaccine, and now they're sleeping all the time for 2 days, you know, and the doctor says, oh, that's normal. Or the doctor says, no, it isn't tied to the vaccine. Isn't that what they tell parents?
Yeah.
They always say it's a coincidence.
Yeah, they'll see it. Yeah, they won't recognize it for what it is, and they sure as heck aren't going to take responsibility. I listened to a doctor on one of these videos. He talked about, he's an older man. He said, you know, I gave those vaccines. I did that. I didn't know. He said, I didn't do my due diligence, and I think of all the children I harmed, and I'm so sorry. And he was crying. Because he understood and he had a conscience. And he said, I didn't know, but I didn't do my due diligence. You know, if every doctor, you know, they require consent, informed consent. When you have a surgery, when you have a procedure done, you have to sign a piece of paper. You know, the doctor tells you these are the benefits, these are the risks, you know, and you have to sign something called informed consent. They never do that with vaccinations. Never. But if you were to say as a parent, where's the informed consent form? And I want you to inform me everything about this and the possible risks, everything. What's in it? What are the benefits? I want to know what the studies are. See what they say. You know, wake a few doctors up. Seriously.
Yeah. There are some things that people can do, but I wouldn't recommend. Like, one example, the lady who was in the hospital, the kid they wouldn't release unless they got the shot, she could have them bring her a form to sign, and then on the form she could sign doing while under duress, or she could put VC, it stands for this Latin, which means under duress. Or she could put three dots and then put her signature afterwards, which in contract law means there's something I want to say which I'm not being allowed to say, so I'm just going to sign this. And the best thing would be to have a witness sign it as well, because later in court, the witness shows up, and especially she needs to argue with them. And when she argues with the doctors and all that stuff in front of the witness, they'll say that there was not a meeting of the minds and there's been a conflict between these two parties. So there definitely was no agreement here. But in any case,
right.
I would not recommend that, because your kid's still getting vaccinated. So the number one thing is not to get the kid vaccinated.
Yes. Yeah,
what I would recommend.
Try to prove even. Go ahead.
Too late. What I recommend is, if someone finds themselves in that situation because they did not do their due diligence on that hospital, or maybe the hospital changed policies, or maybe they've got someone there who doesn't know what they're doing against the hospital's policy or whatever, is tell everybody you know and have them show up. Have them show up with pitchforks and torches if they have to. And get your baby out of there. You can deal with the fallout later.
Yeah.
As long as the baby's safe, that's all that matters.
Knowing what you know now. Yeah, I feel the same way. And, in fact, I look back and there's things with my son that I would have done so differently, you know, that I would have said, and we're not doing that. And, you know, I mean, I would have stood my ground. I'm a confident parent now. You know, I'm confident because I've learned the truth and that those people are incompetent. And just because they hold a degree doesn't mean that they're smart. Doesn't mean that they know the truth. It doesn't mean that they're qualified to make those decisions for your child. They're certainly not. You know? They're not. So, yeah. Anyway, I would like to do part two next week again, if that's okay, Dizzy. And if we're okay with it, I'm thinking maybe time to wrap up tonight's show, if that's okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I have a kitten over
fine.
Here who's knocking stuff over. Okay. Yeah, he's something else. He's a live wire. He just knocked a table over. I'm
we
like, wow.
Spanish flu and pandemic that happened.
That would be,
yeah,
would you like to save it for next week's show?
Yeah, we could bring up some pandemics because there's been plenty of them.
Yeah, the actual causes for them.
That would be awesome. Yeah, actually, that would be awesome. I have a great-grandfather who died from the Spanish flu in 1917 or 18, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, St. Louis area. So, yep, that would be awesome.
All right.
So, okay,
yep, that sounds like a winner.
Yeah, I thank our listeners, those who may have been listening tonight. And I don't know if we listed the phone number this week. I had a hard time getting this show. Obviously, I didn't get it set up. Someone else did. But when I was trying to, I had the phone number in it. We'll make sure that next week we have that for callers as well. So we're going to go ahead and cut this short. And let me find a song for tonight. And we're actually going to do a Jordan Page song, and that is Listen. So thank you. Thank you, U.S., for coming on the show, and my co-host as well. Dizzy.
Yes, good night. Good night, you guys.
Yeah, you guys. You have a good night. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm,
thank you, U.S., for calling in. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Cat and Dizzy Show on Resolution Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.